Quantum Foam, Episode 13. Zeroth Wave Renaissance, Part 2.
Quantum Foam.
Physics is at the foundation of all the mathematical principles that guide the heavens. You have to understand physics.
More than likely, that's not going to happen, but...
This can be looked at as something where we study the following. The audio program you use, the mics you use, and how everything's set up. I'm just wondering if you have mic to mixer to computer with sound card, whatever, with or without sound card, whatever, and then into the audio program, do you have the ability to voice activate recording?
You're the one making the podcast here.
Because some of this stuff is pretty awesome. It works for single podcasts. If you have two people, obviously the other person talking could start the recording of the other person. When you're mixing in this stuff, it's a lot more complicated.
Why don't you get into the other half of how Zeroth Wave Productions sound engineering is starting a new renaissance. In other words, the music sound spectrum that you humans tend to enjoy listening to these days.
The editing you do was some bullshit between what you keep, what don't you keep, what did you hear, what didn't you hear. Shit is so freaking confusing. You have to develop a method that works for you and then do it every time and then write down the method you do and every so often check to make sure all your methods are being done. And so that is why I did the test run of the first 10. Now I knew what I needed to do to get hardware, software, everything else to do the other whatever, however many of these I'm ever going to do. The other 990, I'm just going to say. So there's going to be a lot of filler material when you make that many episodes. So I'm just wondering what kind of hardware is a good thing to be working with and what you may or may not be working with. But you know what I'm working with now. I basically have a cheap dynamic mic with a switch on it. So that way I can turn it off and nobody will record me without my permission. I literally disconnect the coils in the mic. That's what an off switch is. Basically, it's warm enough for bugs to start coming back out now, which is generally a good sign, which means I'm going to get to go back to work here soon. So I better get to going on recording some of these motherfucking things. I have a dynamic mic hooked to an XLR cable to a 1/4-inch input. Not that you really need it, but, you know, you're going to have the best quality and the best hardware and the best software and everything that you can get, because why not do it right the first time? However, I am also adding that math with a container of math where I decide I don't want to spend any money for this, essentially, but you got to spend a little bit. Your average Joe needs to be able to do this, and the cheap hardware needs to be made into a microchip the size of your thumb, and so there's no reason why we can't have this today, but that's neither here nor there and not besides the point of what else I'm doing here.
Doesn't sound too bad, I suppose.
But it's the same with this quality of distortion. I believe the mixer has 0.05% harmonic distortion. That's not even 0.1% of distortion, so you're good. We're only talking percents here when we can hear distortion, so that's a half of a point of a percent. So for recording purposes and these chords and stuff, I don't care if I record a very, 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 very low quiet hum because it's part of the dither. That's what I want because this is audio only, not music. You don't want that in music. Music, you absolutely want everything to sound a certain way. But voice, you want those ins and outs and that focal point processing, because that's what makes us sound alive. The voice goes focal point.
This shit again? It still amazes me the types of humor that English has brought about in the last 350 years.
Faster, it goes softer, it goes higher, it goes lower in pitch, it goes slower, it goes faster, it goes in and out of focus to make it sound real. And so that's what real life sounds like too. Nobody is ever directing a point beam to beam communication to you. They're speaking to the room, which is a 3D cacophony, which can only be modeled with a 2D waveform that is parallel with the ground and perpendicular and orthogonal to the normal and the force due to gravity that goes down. You can model it like the Bose, how they modeled it in those commercials. It's a circle that gets bigger and bigger and bigger all within your room, but in 3D. And so it's 3D. So these mics are what they call cardioids, which, since they're not a perfect circle, they can use math and other things to process the audio to make it sound like a circle. So the sound is seen like an onion-shaped thing, and the distortion and differences in that can be used to model an image of the audio and then reproduce it digitally. And so doing that is plenty fine for these purposes. Condenser mics use a different shaped mic diaphragm, which then reflects or sends the waves into a plate or on a plate which then other technology converts into an audio signal. So a lot of times for singing and music, recording a guitar and things like that, you want something that's that high quality because it can record in 384 kilohertz, which is extreme overkill. But for voice, it's like a voice is a fucking voice, man. All music is CD quality music. 16-bit, 44.1 kilohertz, point wave. Then it's encoded down to whatever the fuck, AAC, MP3, whatever else. And the source that's playing it is going to be something that can generally only play up to CD quality music.
I'd say that's a pretty good understanding of the essence of professional sound engineering.
Now, our phones and a lot of other hardware can play above that, but remember that sound equipment, they make it 1 year, and then people 20 years later are still using this shit. So essentially, there has to be standards. And for sound and digital sound, they already made that standard years ago. I don't even know how long ago.
1982. That's basically when Philips and Sony released that standard, bro.
And so 16-bit wave is CD quality music, and for voice, that's plenty fine. There's no reason to be messing with upsampling and up bit rating, because when you're doing in and out of your production, it introduces errors, and I've had this happen. It can introduce clicks and pops when you go from 48 kilohertz to 44.1 kilohertz. And finding all those clicks and pops, you got to go through the thing sample by sample, okay? It's stupid. Re-record all of it. Trash it.
Why does the post-production editing always seem so much harder than simply the recording part?
Or figure out how to deal with the software where it won't do this.
Trash.
I have had to do this over years of practice with these programs. And this is simply just stuff that you can't know without doing it the way I did unless I tell you. And this is me telling you. There's certain things with the music that it'll do that it'll cause you so many problems that you'll have to fix it and waste a lot of your time. And so the best thing to do is just get a mic, get a mixer, get a sound card, record it, and edit out the bullshit and do a little mastering at the end. Kick that bitch out.
There isn't much material getting edited out, just stutters and stuff and coughs.
Kick that bitch out.
And, you know, nuclear explosions that happen next door and shit. And
kick that bitch out.
But we're really not editing much out but the white space.
Kick that bitch out.
It's not that hard. Do whatever format you want, and then that's how you do it.
Kick that bitch out.
So you already kind of know that, but
kick that bitch out.
These are basically just questions I need to ask before going further, and I did.
I'm just wondering if you're going to be using these voice-activated recordings and other things like that. It's just kind of weird and interesting that I can see the sound while I'm saying the sound, while I'm recording the sound, while I'm also recording the sound to you.
Yeah. Confusing.
This can see them on the big screen. So the setup I got here is dual setup. So I'm a freaking production machine, man. I have all the software to back it up, and I got the physics to prove it, and I got the math to explain it, and I got me to translate it. And so that is all I am, is a fucking formula translator for this shit for you people.
I'm a freaking production machine, man.
So pretty much,
you are a lunatic.
Pretty much that's it as far as the fluff, but I will be adding other fluff to other episodes, and this particular container of fluff will be one for multiple episodes. And so as I speak and listen to myself, edit myself, speak, listen, edit myself, I'm going to come up with more English words to say so that I can build a larger library of voice-to-text to text-to-speech robot voice with the correct tone so that I can analyze all that and then create my own algorithms to create my own robot voice tone library data AI stuff.
How in the world do you keep track of all that?
So that's also a side point of what I'm doing here too. I'm doing the show for fun. I'm doing the physics because it's cool and I like studying it and I'm learning and I'm teaching at the same time. Full circle. And then I like the computers because I love computers and I'm a computational physicist and I'm a programmer. And it's fun to do it because I'm in full control of this spectrum. So unless you want to deal with the temporal distortion that I have to deal with, then let me do this shit and tell you how to do it as far as everything else.
Making a podcast seems so tedious. Most people just want a finished product.
The nuanced bullshits, I'll gladly find out what the problem is and spend the time doing it because it's fun for me, even though it's bullshit at the end, but then you know why, and I like finding out why.
Let me guess, this is how I can even be here?
Because I like the idea of being able to explain to Isaac Newton why gravity works.
I knew it.
As opposed to gravity does work, the fact that gravity does work.
Taking care of known infinity problems. This idea is still deeply embedded within the study of mechanics.
And the mechanics behind the gravity that works. Big G.
That's right. Big G.
What's your gravity in that equation? Okay, you're constant. G is just constant, so it's like 10 or 9. So it gives you a rate. 9 gravity units is the effect between that object and that object. How do you find those gravity units? Okay, you got G, you got little m, big M, all over R squared. So you're talking about a distance from here to there. Displacement, radius, that's your R. Square it, that's in the denominator. The big M is the mass of the first object that's bigger, and the second M is the mass of the second object, which is smaller. It doesn't matter which one's first, commutative property with multiplication. So doing, you're averaging the multiplication of the masses, putting them together, and then seeing the displacement between the division of that over the denominator.
Exactly. There are a lot of neat little tricks you can do using my formula for gravity.
So what you're doing is you're converting a point particle into a rod of length L. You're modeling two stars that are actually two balls that revolve around each other, like it's just a pole that spins around a center of gravity. So using math like that, you're able to actually do calculus. And that is the essence of what Newton figured out when an apple hit his head in 16 whatever. His book came out in 1687.
I chose that date for a reason. That fucking asshole Leibniz.
Everybody has their competition in their day. His was Leibniz.
And I published my first book while he was alive. Obviously, I waited to publish my third and final revision of Principia until after he died.
And so, when they both know, oh, this guy's doing this, now I gotta do this, he waited till he was dead to release his shit because he was such an asshole, he hated him so much. And it's like, I could literally do that with this, but that's besides the point and going on a tangent that I'm gonna stop here now. It's not bad to have a little bit of competition here and there, we do it all the time. It motivates us to get more stuff done and then to be proud that we got something done and then to see a feedback for what we're doing. I like this science-y, math-y shit because it all makes sense to me.
Science-y, math-y shit.
And the computers just mix in with there.
Science-y, math-y shit.
And so I never wanted to do this kind of thing until now. And so here I am. So the thing is it's the same thing as when I did music. I could have started producing music back in like 08 or 09, but I figured, you know what? I'm not going to do something that I'm going to half-ass, so I won't do it. I'm just a listener. And then at some point I ran out of music and I'm like, you know what? There's a couple empty spots. I need to make shit because I've ran out of music to listen to. So I started making hour mixes so that I could have music to listen to while I'm at work and on walks and other shit like that.
How many hours of stuff do you listen to? Wow.
And so I need more shit, and it doesn't have to be just me or music. But what I'm doing with the sound stuff is totally creating a new sound box. The website will be able to play all music, my music, because it's my property, other music, and podcast stuff as well. There's a whole entire arena of podcasts. And so you got your different types of sound, and then there's sound production library stuff that you don't listen to, you just download them and use them to make your stuff. But all this audio shit, digital audio shit, is stuff that I'm going to be putting on the website, because DI.FM started digitally importing electronic music back in 99. But all that stuff is besides the point. This sound shit is what I do, and the math, physics, computer shit, and what everybody else does is other stuff. It's not quite as specialized as what I do. So I'm learning what I'm doing because I'm trying to run a fucking company, and this is a fucking company. I have an employer identification number with the IRS and everything, so that I could sell CDs and music, and then I'm going to run all that through the business just in case I do something and somebody sues me. That way I'm not screwed. The business is just screwed. And so that is why I've structured all of this the same thing. I got my EIN 5 years ago. I have not done anything with it, though. But now I'm doing something with it. So I'm building up these albums, these sound libraries, building the code from the ground up, making the art from scratch for every part of it. I'm literally doing every single part, every sample of every programming code from one byte all the way up to the entire size of the entire website. And what it does is what I'm doing. And so
you really do have a wide variety of experience. It must be nice not to have all of that corporate overhead slowing down the innovation.
I literally mean every part of it. Even the part that shows the page that shows the sound to where you click the button and listen. I even hand-designed and created that. Obviously, I'm using parts of code and information and knowledge and technology and tools that have been built by the collective of those before me, but I'm speaking just about what I can do now and what everybody else can do as well.
Being a Renaissance man is pretty neat. I was one too.
Potentially adding podcast stuff to the website makes it not even just music production. It literally is sound production, and so music is the popular or the more common version of what it does, but it also does everything with sound. SoundCloud has sound So it's got cuts from movies, it's got songs, it's got movie soundtracks, it's got podcasts, it's got other stuff. And with podcasts, it sort of covers all the other smaller things, like a how-to video on how to do something in terms of just the audio. So they got lots of how-to tutorial shits. They got every flavor of entertainment. I mean, sound across the board really does mean sound across the board. But this is sort of just some meta information and a podcast in and of itself, just to add some of this extra information and to try out the hardware and see what it does when I record with this and with that, to see if the quality on this can be compared to the quality on that, and I can really see the difference in the dithering and the distortion and other things like that. And basically, this should be enough information to let me know and give me concrete proof that what I'm doing is the way I should do it, because if I am about to do 495 more hours of this shit, then I need digital confirmation from the Matrix.
I suppose I will play along. The Matrix says break time.
All right, we are about halfway through
episode 13, Zeroth Wave Renaissance,
part 2
of Quantum Foam.
Of Metal Quantum Foam.
And I just got it. And that is not a joke. And the only way that you could see that is if you could see a video of the 3D area that I am currently in. But the only way to do that is to pack it in a 4D container and then put it in a 5D communication modulation demodulation system and send it to you. All that shit hasn't been done yet, but it has been done. It can be done because we have the technology.
It's starting to mess up again.
When it does, in fact, get done.
What the fuck?
You know?
What the again?
Reset it again.
Basically, those...
You say that a lot.
I say basically a lot because I'm trying to break things down into basic form so you idiots can understand me.
Basically.
Quintessentially. Isaso essentially. That's 21. No.
It's Icoso. That's that last platonic solid. 21 triangles. You're close enough.
I don't know what it is. It's white to green technology in the form of a qubit that is squirted out through a rectum.
Get back to the subject, Mr. ADHD.
No. We want to move into what it is that we do here. We ended up making this into a two-parter because there's a beginning and an end to a concept. So that concept is being described over a two-parter. That's the way it is. There's going to be plenty of series in the future, I'm sure. But you don't want a series of 47 or something. There's a series of 47 part B of, no, we're not doing that. There's 1,000 fucking episodes. Just number the half hour. There's only 500 hours. So it's like an hour covers this one. But if you don't have time to listen to this shit because you have to take a shit, or you have to go to sleep, or you have to go wipe somebody's ass while you're at work, or if you have to go look through dick pics all day at work, or whatever you do at work, you get paid to take a shit for $40 to take a shit for 15 minutes or something. That's the rate. But keep that kind of shit to yourself. No, we need to go further into what exactly it is that we do, built upon having every available software at our disposal, just like every other company in the industries today.
You have all that shit all because of the brilliance and genius of the principles of my math. I wrote physics. Okay. Too much.
We are attempting to come up with better technology for innovations for the future. And this is only one part of a larger part of companies. So if it were a thing to be such a thing as a Renaissance man, this is what the form takes in terms of corporations and jobs.
How can this be related to production?
And other heuristic hierarchical data structure protocol requirements for society.
Sorry, I asked.
That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, and saying what I'm saying, and using the nomenclature I'm using to describe the concepts I'm describing.
Wait, say that shit again.
Heuristic hierarchical data structure protocol requirements for society.
You could just say other requirements. Why all the meta bullshit?
We get to make up some of the shit. They make up all this Greek bullshit. Why can't I just make up some bullshit that's a mnemonic that helps you understand this is that, and oh yeah, that dumb math rule. The dot, the T, the cross, the I shit. You want to have a negative and positive right and wrong, because that could throw the whole equation off. If one negative sign is supposed to be positive and you got confused, the whole thing can't be trusted, because there are ways to turn that all the way around, and the theoretical math and the way math is, if it's a be-all, say-all with numbers that we understand, which helps us prove the real world and predict the real world, the future of the real world, and helps us gauge and data mine the past, then we need to start somewhere. And that somewhere is 1 plus 1 is 2 in English. It's 7 zeros and a 1. 1 plus 7 zeros and a 1 equals 6 zeros, a 1, and a 0. It's 1 plus 1 is 10 in binary. So what we need to keep track of our math, and to do that, we are doing it in the form of sound, because it has spectral abilities built right in. There is a sound spectrum for an audio file.
Triangulate by hearing. That's a neat trick.
However, we generally don't care, because it says stuff that we already know, like the human voice is around this hertz to that hertz. It's around no hertz to 1,000 hertz. And so when you amplify it a billion times, we can only do 10 decibel or 10,000. And then the most even beyond that is double that, 20,000.
Most people can't even hear anywhere near 20,000 hertz.
The note that is 20,000 vibrations per second, we cannot hear. And so the spectrum is telling us all this shit that's below that, that we can hear and see. And when we talk, that's what's in the spectrum recording. And so all that high level shit, you can essentially cut it off. And so that's within the spectrum of this mic. And it's designed that way because that could be the spectrum selection of the possible gamut color spectrum grid that is a sound wave. The only parts of this we care about are those. And so the spectrum doesn't tell you much. It just tells you it's probably a song or a voice or something like that. And songs even have different spectrums. You'd be able to tell that it's a song as opposed to a voice just by looking. You're not going to be able to see all these data points and say, herf derf, this is this, this is that, that is this. We're not completely made of code, so we look at things in terms of our inferences, reality, and the tools around us that give us the sensors, that give us the feedback, that let us know what we are doing. My feedback is a real-time recording of the voice, and I don't need to see the spectrum to know what it needs to look like. But it took me years to figure this shit out. I did it backwards so that I could design a new way. That's essentially what I've done, and why Zeroth Wave Productions and ZerothWave.com, ZerothWave.com, com, is a thing, because you need to compartmentalize your ideas too, so that you can work on them when you have time. Ideas take time to bring to fruition. So if it is a such thing to be a Renaissance man, then mine is in the form of a one-man conglomerate that I am trying to bring various industries and innovations and companies to fruition.
That's pretty awesome. We need more innovators.
And only a select few of them will probably make it. Zeroth Wave right now is really the main one that I'm driving, and it actually has content, and it does stuff, so I can sell services to people or provide them as donations.
You are helping people who are seeing impaired or otherwise unable to read or enjoy all five senses that most humans are able to do.
Or whatever. What I'm doing is providing code and sound and digitization and breakdowns of subsections of sound files that have been digitized in a codex or a format or a correct listing where we can type in a fucking word and it'll give us some text feedback or sound feedback one-to-one. Right now, it's still you get an audio response or a text response. How do we serve accessibility options to their requirements? How do we offer our information to somebody who absolutely cannot hear anything? And what we are offering is a sound wave. Well, I'm sorry, you will not be able to quote-unquote hear this, but you may be able to quote-unquote calculate a version of hearing it by reading a fucking text of it. And even though it may look retarded as for a transcript, you will know it is not, because it was meant to be given in the form of spoken conversation in the English of language, and the language of English. And so I'm pretty much as close to a computer as a human can get, and I'm going to create a computer that is as close to a human as I can, as far as an AI personality. And there are reasons why we need this AI. We need the smart shit so we can build the shit we need and dumb it down to where it needs to be. We need to make a dumb robot that squirts out rubber, that makes a hose that we put in our cars. But we don't need that machine to psychoanalyze us. That's what we have humans for. We don't need a digital doctor unless it really is smart enough to be a digital doctor. And that is questionable these days. But while real doctors are using these heads-up displays that give them computer information at their disposal, it can be done the other way around too. Somebody who's never done surgery can be offered all the information they need to know and all the tools they need to do it and instructions that are clear enough for them to comprehend. Yet, you don't want to do that ideally. However, we are of the day and age where everybody thinks they are a doctor. You can look shit up online and, oh, I know everything there is to know about this now because I read an article. Well, it's not as simple as that. You have to do a whole paper on every concept and then review your own concept and then peer review your concept and then review the review of your peer reviewed concept and so forth and so on. And so you can't just do that by reading something, because anybody can put anything there. But by consensus, things generally remain somewhat accurate, mostly accurate. But you can get mostly accurateness from one human, and that mostly accurate human may be able to read this information and actually perform the job. So this is a matter of technology that goes to the end user and goes all the way to the programmer. And in this case, I am the end user and the programmer. So one option that we are going to be looking at for future technology and software development exhibitions, what we're going to show people of the tech we got.
Nice. Yes. Sum it up at the end sometimes as well.
Pretty much, we need to have sound one-to-one and text one-to-one. And so if you see a picture of a car, a word comes up, a computer looks at it, they take an image of it with a camera eye, a computer looks at it, processes it, evaluates the image, makes a spatial representation of it that can be considered accurate, and then real-world sensors like IR sensors bounce off and give you speeds and positions that way. Correlating the two, you can have a robot that can walk around and maybe drive a car for somebody. And we may not ever have cars that just drive themselves and trust them, but we may trust a robot that drives them.
Correlating the two.
And us monitor the activities of the robots. Right now, our plane pilots monitor the activities of the computer guidance systems that are in the planes. And for the most part, we don't crash planes all the fucking time, but some of the shit is like, man, aeronautics, nobody understands it to the point where no planes crash. Yet, we're talking 0.00000 crash, as opposed to crashing a car, or you just falling down one day, or an asteroid crashing into the Earth. There is a certain sphere of natural area of likelihood where all of this exists near the Earth, and so our center of gravity is the center of the Earth, physically and mathematically.
That's just a fancy way of saying circle to square math.
So we basically can do all the other math easily, mostly. And so that helps us describe moving vehicles, which help us build planes, etc., etc. Now we're having trouble going from near the Earth into orbit and back, near the Earth to orbit to Mars and back, things like that. We just need a transport system, but the biggest issue is surface-to-orbit vehicle, a shuttle. We just need a vehicle to get us into space, into orbit, and then we have ships there that take us elsewhere. If we can't get that down, then I am not going to reveal the information that I have that is going to allow us to travel faster than the speed of light and get to another solar system, because that is another reason for having the technology and concatenating the types of innovation that can be done or said to be done from somebody such as myself, who is quote-unquote a Renaissance man.
That's awesome. I was alive during a time when such a thing was extremely popular. The real Renaissance was back during the century or two before I wrote my Principia book. The art, the philosophy, the true emergence of science as a professional discipline, before they even used that word, the things that people were discovering were absolutely phenomenal. Astronomy, literature, the list goes on.
Other Renaissance men are lots and lots of people you have heard of. The most recent famous one in our time could be Steve Jobs.
There are so many now.
Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, the garage band duet dudes who built fucking software as a company. It still exists today. They build all the software that we build all the software to run on. So they have that sector, which is fucking great, because then we can build our shit and people can see the shit we build. And we're deep into the graphics. They have the best graphics in the world. And so how do we develop better graphics? They have good graphics, but they just give us the graphics. And so we need to develop physics and mechanics. So the types of thing that this is going to allow are endless, and I won't even get into them here. However, having a computer properly work with information is what we all want, and I am trying to develop physics that can be accurate down to a certain degree of accuracy, even under gravitational metric tensor math, pretty much flying near a sun.
Hey, we had never went into space in my day. We knew that Mercury had a problem with the orbit, but shit, I figured out planet orbit math. Shit, Kepler saw. René Descartes helped split the schools of thought from logical philosophy and that of the rampant mysticism. I still have ideas about alchemy. I know it can't all be rubbish, but that is how science works. This is how humans learn definitively.
How do you make a ship fly near a sun and not fall into it? And then all of a sudden want to change direction and go over by that planet. If you fly around in the solar system, you have all this shit pulling you everywhere. And if you let yourself drift under a certain time, you'll go into it. We've proven all of this shit. You got two baseballs that are in quote-unquote complete and utter separate inertial reference frames and let them sit there. They coalesce. Planets form this way, probably in some ways. Particles stick together because of gravity and a bunch of other things. We know that the reference frame of each of those balls cannot be complete because they have actions that act upon them, looking at them from a different inertial frame of reference, which this box has those two things in it that we're looking at. What we're doing is looking at what we see and then checking that against what we know. And that is the only way to cyclically come up with new innovations, new science, and new technology.
New innovations.
And I watched as the technology grew, wasn't quite there. It's there now. It's not quite together. As soon as this ship pops up and as soon as this tech is available, I am using that as the rate of what I do.
Like I said, my real body was never in space back at the end of the 18th century. But anyway, this thing that you're doing with Zeroth Wave is quite commendable. Millions of people will one day be able to use your technology for the good of others and for the good of science.
That is it for episode 13 of Quantum Foam.
Quantum Foam.
The Zeroth Wave Disclaimer.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the author or authors and do not necessarily reflect the particular views, thoughts, or opinions of Zeroth Wave Productions, any of its sister companies, its parent company, Zeroth Enterprises, or any other entity which had existed, will exist, or which, quote-unquote, presently must exist outside the realm of our current space-time.
Quantum Foam is produced by Zeroth Wave Productions.